The inaugural World Drone Prix was held in Dubai on Sunday, and Mike Murphy from Quartz is here to tell us about it. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. What can you tell us about who won?
So it was won by a 15-year-old kid from the UK, from a small part of England called Somerset, which is very I don't know if you know this. I grew up in London, so I know the area pretty well. There's not a lot going on in Somerset, so there's probably a lot of open space to be flying these drones. So I can see why this kid, his name was Bannister, has won.
So how does drone racing work exactly? How are they're controlling it from their own camera? How does it work?
So for a race like this, these drones will all be pretty much custom made, more or less handmade, hand soldered by the pilots themselves. And they usually have, so for like a race like this, probably they'll have just one camera on them. And what that is exactly what you're seeing right now. And then there'll be a radio emitter that basically sends the feed from that camera in real time to a pair of video goggles that are like janky versions of the Oculus that the pilots are using to actually steer. And so you get this cool effect, like when you're watching the video later, of them flying essentially as if, you know, like a bird or pod racing or whatever you want to think of it is.
It's really cool.
Crazy. Like I can only like when things are, it's one thing to like play a video game, move real fast in a video game, but it's another thing to see the video of it and know that like he's really kind of playing this the way you would play a video game. He's got a controller, he's got the feed of the video, but I mean, you know, I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but one wrong move and the thing actually crashes. Like this just kind of blows my mind that they're this good at it, especially as far as how fast things are moving.
I think it's pretty crazy, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I went to the biggest competition that's been held in the U.S. Last July, and none of the people who placed in that, none of the winners placed in the top 15 for this competition. A lot of them were there, but they didn't even place, you know, which kind of tells you just how quickly this sport is emerging. And, you know, when I wrote my story today about this, I kind of compared it to snowboarding and skateboarding back in the day when they were kind of like outsider sports. And I found out that Shaun White was just 13 when he did his first professional event. So there is, you know, definitely precedent for this sort of thing.
For the young people being the leaders in the sport in the beginning as it's coming up. Yeah, so wow. I mean, there's a lot of things that are that might keep this from becoming more mainstream. One is like, I mean, we're watching this now, and anyone can watch it. But like, in terms of like being a spectator sport, is there much to see if you're actually at the event?
So this is a huge problem right now. There's a few companies and a few different organizations that are trying to figure out how to turn this into an actual spectator sport. Right now, I think it works best as a kind of YouTube sport. Mm-hmm. You know, like we just watched that. That's awesome. And I guarantee you hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people will probably end up watching that video. But in terms of when you go there and watch it, especially if it's during the daytime, it's really hard to watch. You're basically watching a dinner plate fly 70 miles an hour in an open field. You know, that's why a lot of them are being held at night, so you can see the track itself a lot better, and they're starting to light up the drones themselves, so you can actually discern, oh, I'm rooting for the green one, or I'm rooting for the blue one. Oh, no, the yellow one just crashed, that sort of thing. So that makes it a little easier, but what I've actually heard from some pilots is, you know, it's all well and good doing all these kind of crazy, you know, course modifications to make them look more awesome. If they're not fun to fly, no one's going to keep coming back. And I don't know about this one. That course looks a little more difficult. But there was a similar kind of like neon crazy, you know, 90s theme drone race like this in the Las Vegas desert around CES that from what I heard from pilots that were at that, it was pretty much just a straight shot. You know, there wasn't really a lot of challenging curves or twists or anything like that that really, you know, made it interesting for them. Like, and that's obviously what you really need as a pilot if you're going to keep coming back to the sport.
Wow. Yeah. And when you're talking about like future sports, like, which is, this definitely qualifies in that category. Like I know it sounds nerdy to think of like an audience with VR goggles on, but I don't know. It kind of also makes sense in a strange way, right? Like we've got this strange, like technology convergence happening here where where VR is kind of coming up. We're kind of we don't really know what the you know, the next frontier is when it comes to VR technology. We've got drone, you know, flying drones in the way that they're being flown right now. You kind of feel like you're at the beginning of a big, you know, a big kind of new sport when you see something like this. I could totally see it. Like, this is, maybe this isn't the kind of sport that you go and you just sit idly on the sidelines and watch a little dot fly around in the sky. Maybe this is like, you know, the kids who are just grow up accustomed to things like VR understand this sport because it's perfect for it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see, I can't, when I'm, you know, when you're a big stadium, you can't see a lot anyway. I mean, you're, you're depending on, for any sport, you're depending on the big screen, I guess. So, so the drones themselves, are they commercial drones, or are they, did each pilot make this drone? How does that work?
So yeah, these are not like the drones you could go buy at Best Buy. These are pretty crazy little machines that are probably about, you know, this big in size compared to my giant face. They're like carbon fiber bodies. Then all of the parts are generally bought from like different retailers, different people, and the pilots will all be making them themselves for the most part. There's like a few kits that you can kind of, you know, buy now that'll have all the parts, but you're still going to need to assemble it. This isn't like something that you can just like go, okay, I'm a drone racer now. You like, at this point, you still really need like some amount of engineering ability and some kind of like, you know, electrical wiring ability. This is more than just like, you know, putting a new fuse in your fuse box. These are pretty hard to build right now. And I kind of was like, you know, I've been covering this sport, this growing sport for about a year. And I've really like, I have a few little like drones, but like, I really want to build one, but at the same time, I don't think I can do it without setting something on fire, like not on purpose.
So the 15-year-old that won built this drone himself, I presume.
Yeah, I think so. I can't confirm that. I haven't spoken to him, but for the most part, people in the sport, they're either flying rigs completely made by themselves, or at least, you know, from parts from sponsors that, you know, they're like, well, these are our new parts. Will you fly these? The only exception really is the Drone Racing League, which was the New York-based league that's going to have races throughout 2016. They all mandate kind of like the Formula One, where you basically got one car shape and you kind of have to stick within that. They're mandating that everyone uses their shaped drone, which kind of levels the playing field. I know a lot of these races, I'm not sure about this one so much, but a lot of the previous big races, people have been racing drones that are like this big versus drones that are that big. And the small ones are a lot more nimble, a lot more agile. So they've been winning. But to me, that seems like, you know, racing a stock car against a Formula One car. It's not really fair.
So what's next? Is there another big race coming up next in drones?
There are so many drone races. It's kind of crazy. For these guys, they hope that basically, the Sports Council of Dubai hopes that this will kickstart a drone Grand Prix, and you know, this will be the kind of Monaco of the Formula One version of them. And don't know if that's going to happen, but the guy who organized the Drone Nationals in California last summer that I went to, he's having another Drone Nationals in New York in August that is going to be on, I think, Randall's Island or one of the islands that isn't very accessible. So that'll be interesting. And then there's the Drone Worlds competition in Hawaii in October, which if I can figure out a way to get there, definitely going to cover that.